So join me as we pray. Come and we honor you, Lord Jesus Christ, King of kings and Lord of lords, our Savior, Redeemer, eternal Word of God, only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We stand in your presence, amazed. We say, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. We bow in our hearts and our lives and we submit ourselves to your leadership and your lordship. We surrender the things of this world and ask that you would use us for your purposes. For your abiding presence with us, your promise is you never leave us, you never forsake us. In our hardest pains, in our hardest trials, you're there. In our greatest joys, you're there. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, good morning. Good to see all of you this morning. I'm Pastor Mike. If you're a guest with us, welcome to First Baptist Church. If you have your Bibles, find your place in John's Gospel, John chapter number 13. John chapter number 13. And if you're a guest, please let us know who you are. We'd love to get acquainted with you. We don't want to embarrass you in any way, but we'd love to minister to you and help you in any way we can to know more about our church. Now, these days ahead, I'll be talking to the church about some very important words. For all of our students who are here today, I'm going to introduce you to some very special places in your Bible. I'm going to really try to encourage you to pay attention because this is a place in the Gospel of John you need to always have available to you in all the seasons of life that will come your way in the days ahead. John chapter 13 through 16 are some of the most special words of the Lord Jesus. All of them matter, all of them are important, but these words are filled with wonderful, precious promises for us that help us in all the seasons of life. And so I wanted us as a church, as we move from here, Lord willing, toward Easter time, to be thinking about these words of the Lord Jesus. And I call them living on the promises of Jesus. And so we learn from these words, words that we can treasure in our heart. Some of you who are older like me, others of you in the middle of life, many of you are familiar with these words, but I bring you back to them again because they are never old. They are always fresh and new. And the Holy Spirit of God always honors the words of the Lord Jesus. And today there'll be something special for all of us as we hear these words and we hear the Word of God. For the sake of time, in just a moment, I'm going to give you the observations as we move along through the text. I'm not going to do a lot of introductory material because I want us to get right to the first two promises that are found in John 13. John chapter 13, let's begin reading in verse number 1. John 13, verse number 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, Jesus, knowing that his hour had come, that he would depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, the devil, having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, that he had come forth from God and was going back to God, he got up from the supper and laid aside his garments, and taking a towel, he girded himself. Then he poured water into the basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. So he came to Simon Peter. He said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" Jesus answered and said, "What I do, you do not realize now, but you'll understand hereafter." And Peter said to him, "Never shall you wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, then wash not only my feet, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "He who has bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you." For he knew the one who was betraying him. For this reason he said, "Not all of you are clean." So when he had washed their feet and taken his garments and reclined at the table again, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, the Lord and the teacher, washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I gave you an example that you also should do as I did to you." Now we come to the first promise. "Truly, truly, I say to you, a slave is not greater than his master, nor is the one who is sent greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them." If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. "I do not speak of all of you. I know the ones I have chosen, but it is that the scripture may be fulfilled, 'He who eats my bread has lifted up his heel against me.' From now on, I am telling you before it comes to pass, so that when it does occur, you may believe that I am he." Our second promise. "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who receives whomever I send receives me. And he who receives me receives him who sent me." Heavenly Father, now bless the reading of your word. And may the Holy Spirit be our teacher today, how we need to hear the Lord Jesus' words. May they ring in our ears, and may they find a place in our hearts. And may we live them as we leave this place today. In Jesus' name, amen. So the focal truth is this, that Jesus Christ is preparing the disciples for his return to God the Father. That's the very first words that we see in verse number one. Jesus, knowing that his hour had come, that he would depart out of this world to the Father. So John 13 to 16, we have these very, very special promises of the Lord Jesus to all disciples. That's all of us in this room who are disciples, and those who hear my voice today who follow Jesus. In these words of the Lord Jesus, he speaks to all of us as disciples, and he gives us wonderful promises. You can trust the promises of the Lord Jesus. He died for our sins. He is risen from the dead, ascended to heaven. Praise God, he is coming again. What Jesus promises, he always fulfills. And many of us have lived long enough to experience the blessing of the promises of God. So we feast on the promises of God. We live on them. We live on the promises of Jesus especially. And now these disciples have come to a place they don't know what we know. We've read all of the gospel before. Most of us are familiar with these words, but the disciples are coming to this point, enjoying their time with Jesus. He keeps talking to them about some strange things about dying. They've never thought about the Messiah dying for sin. They always thought Messiah would just set up the kingdom and everything would go on. But now they find themselves being confronted by the Lord Jesus that he is literally going to physically leave the world. And they'll be here without him. They've lived with him now for well over 2 years. They've had relationship with him and all these special relationships. They've lived with the Lord Jesus. Not only these apostles, but the others who followed this group of several hundreds of these people. They followed the Lord Jesus for years. Many of them giving up things in their life so that they could be with Jesus wherever he went to hear him teach, to witness and see his miracles. But now we read, first of all, that let's just look at these observations. I'll just walk us through them. First of all, Jesus knew he was departing out of the world. You know, the Lord Jesus started in heaven. He didn't start on the earth. He was born into this world to a virgin. But as we learned, as we studied, great is the mystery of godliness, the Lord Jesus, he was revealed in flesh. He who always was. He is the eternal, only begotten Son of God. The glory of the eternal Son of God in the Father and Spirit. Father, Son, Spirit, one God. The glory and mystery of it. Now he departs to go back to the Father. Please notice he knows this. Jesus knowing. John makes a point to point out to us the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ in these days in which they were living. They've celebrated the feast of Passover before together, but now they come to this time and it's different. Verse 1, he knows that he's departing out of the world. He kept telling the disciples he was going to depart out of the world. Over and over he would say, I'll just read one place from Matthew. Behold, we're going to Jerusalem. The Son of Man will be delivered to the chief priests and scribes, and they will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles to mock and scourge and crucify him. And on the third day he will be raised up. They never could understand it. They couldn't believe that that would be true, that the Lord Jesus would be crucified with criminals, but then he would be raised, and that was even stranger, raised from the dead. The disciples weren't unable to understand these things. Luke describes that the disciples understood none of these words of the Lord Jesus, nor the meaning of this statement was hidden from them. They did not comprehend these things. First, we see the Lord Jesus knows the future. He knows his future, and the Lord Jesus knows the will of God for his life, and he submits himself to the will of God. Let that be a lesson to every Christian in this room. To do the will of God in your life to the very end. To commit to follow Jesus, whatever he calls you to do or the Holy Spirit leads you to do. Jesus, knowing that his hour had come, that he would depart out of this world. Please look at these wonderful words. Secondly, not only did he know he was departing out of the world, but number two, Jesus loved his disciples. He prepared them for his departure out of the world. The Lord Jesus loved. We're going to see next week when he tells us to love one another. He already gave us an example of how to love one another. Here, John makes it clear. He loved us before we loved him. Notice, he loved his own who were in the world, and he loved them to the end. While you're there in John 13, just look at these wonderful words. I'll just read them to you. I don't have a lot of time, but I want you to see these. John 17, just flip over a few pages in your Bible. Look at this just for a moment. When the Lord Jesus was praying to God the Father, as he prepared to go to the cross, look how he described his love for the disciples. By the way, these are words for you and me as disciples. You want to know how much the Lord Jesus loves you as a disciple? John 17, 6. I have manifested your name to the men whom you gave me out of the world. You see, that's what the Lord Jesus came to do. The apostles heard those words. The Holy Spirit opened their ears to understand the miracle of what happened when Jesus ascended and the Holy Spirit came. You're reading your Bible. You're reading your New Testament. These words of the Lord Jesus were given to us by the apostles. John the apostle, with his mind opened by the Holy Spirit, gives us these recorded words of the Lord Jesus long after they were spoken without a video machine, without an audio machine. They were given to the apostles, and we are able to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ because of their witness and because they heard it. The Lord Jesus loves us, and he tells us who God is. He loves us, and he tells us what God expects of us. He speaks the word of God to us. He is called the word of God. Jesus also loved his disciples and protected them from the evil one. Look at verse 12, John 17, 12. While I was with them, I was keeping them in your name, which you have given me, and I have guarded them, and not one of them has perished except the son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. He protected the disciples from the evil one, who would come and destroy them. He protected them. The Lord goes on and prays, and this is for us. He prayed not only for those disciples who were in the room with him, but for all of us disciples these thousands of years now who have followed, who have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. He also prays for us. This is the love of the Lord Jesus for you. Look what he prayed, verse 15. I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. To keep them from the evil one. The one who would seek to destroy and discredit your witness. That's the devil. The one who would seek to take the word of God away from those who hear it, who don't believe. The devil who builds his traps into a world system. The devil who is this one who is the God of this world, who expects for us all to bow and submit to him. The bully who pushes people around and tries to dominate and with intimidation and fear, causing people to dread death. The Lord Jesus loves us, and he prays for us to be protected from the evil one. And we pray in our disciples' prayer, deliver us from evil. The Lord Jesus Christ also love them and reminds them that he died for their sins. Look at verse number 19. For their sakes I sanctify myself. What's he talking about? He's talking about sanctifying himself and dying for sin. He's talking about sanctifying himself and being buried, being dead, and then raised from the dead and ascending to heaven. The Lord Jesus describes how much he loves us because he loved us enough to die for us. So Jesus knew that he was departing out of the world, and Jesus loved his disciples and gave us an example also of how we're to love one another. But also Jesus knew that he was the eternal Son of God. He had perfect self-awareness. Look at verse number 3. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come forth from God and was going back to God. Look what the Lord knew. The Lord knew that he was the eternal Son of God. The Lord Jesus knew who he was. He knew his identity. Though he was revealed in flesh and though he walked in the flesh and was fully human, he was fully God. Oh, these words are so important for us. He knew that the Father had given him all authority. He already had all authority, though he was about to submit to man and be crucified by the rulers and by the Jews. He had all authority, and he submitted himself to the scriptures and to the will of God so that we might be saved and be born again. This is important for us to know. He knew what he must suffer, and he suffered it willingly. He suffered it lovingly for all of us so that we might be saved and be his disciples. And as he knows that he has all authority and that he has an even equal eternal relationship with God, being God. Notice that he had come forth from God and was going back to God. Though we don't understand the mystery of it, he comes from God the Father, goes back to God the Father, and there is one God, Father, Son, and Spirit, and now the eternal Son of God. Knowing that he has all authority, what does he do? It's a shock when you read it. Knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come forth from God, was going back to God, he got up from the supper, he laid aside his garments, he took a towel, verse 4, he girded himself, then he poured water into the basin, he began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. He went and washed their feet. Let me read it this way. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, all power, all authority. No one rivals the Lord Jesus Christ in his supreme authority over all things, creation and all created things and over all things. He is the one who is coming from God and goes to God, but he goes and takes off his garments and washes the disciples' feet, one of whom is going to betray him. He washes the feet of the betrayer. He washes the feet of 11 others who will run for their lives, who will flee in fear, and one who will deny him. Strong denials to a little girl standing by a fire not too many days from now. He washes the feet of deserters. He washes the feet of a betrayer. This one who has all authority, this one who has all power, this one who is the eternal Son of God. He said in his prayer in John 17, Father, glorify me together with yourself with the glory with which I had with you before the world was. The greatness of the glory of the Lord Jesus now is seen as he washes these disciples' feet. He washes their feet in preparation for departure. Now, he does it to remind them that he is in relationship with them. Notice Simon Peter says, you're going to wash my feet. And remember what the Lord said, verse 8, if I don't wash you, you have no part with me. You see, this is a part of our relationship with the Lord Jesus. The eternal, glorious, almighty Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Word of God, who was revealed in flesh, now is kneeling on the ground with a basin of water and a towel, and he's washing their feet. The eternal Son of God, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, is washing their feet. And as a result of that, he reveals for us such a very powerful truth. And this is what I want to spend just a moment talking to you about. Because as a result of this, he sits down after he washed their feet, verse 12. And he asks a question, and I ask you today, as you hear it again, do you know what Jesus is doing when he washes their feet? Do you understand the significance of what Jesus is doing in washing the disciples' feet? Do you recognize the Lord says, you call me, verse 13, teacher and Lord, and you're right, for so I am. Verse 14, if I then, the Lord and teacher, wash your feet, you ought also to wash one another's feet, for I gave you an example that you also should do as I did to you. Some are worried and say, well, we should be washing each other's feet. You miss the point. The example is the great humility of the ultimate sovereign of all things who knelt and washed the feet of these sinful disciples who were following him. He surrendered pride. He set it aside. He humbled himself and he carried out the most menial servant task in a household in the first century, washing feet. Washing feet. Some would say, well, you know, Pastor Mike, let me come and wash your feet. Perhaps it's better for us to say to one another, let me come and serve you. How can I serve you? That's really the question here. And the first promise is this, that if you do and carry out the example of Jesus in humbling yourself before others and serving others, look, it's here in verse number 17. You want to be blessed? Oh, everybody's looking for a blessing. Give me a blessing. God bless me, bless me, bless me. Bless me, bless me, bless me. God bless me, bless me. You want to be blessed? You want God to bless you? You want to be blessed by God? Here it is. Do what he said, verse 16. A slave's not greater than his master, and the one sent is not greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, if you know what I have done, Peter, John, he went around the room. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. Look, there is a great blessing when we humble ourselves before God and one another and we serve one another. We're not here to have the most popular award. We don't give out the most popular award at church. There's not a board anywhere in the church where the most popular of the month get to put their picture. We don't believe that. We don't do that. We don't even put up a sign for the most servant-like of the month. We recognize that if we're going to be with the Lord Jesus and like him, we do what he does. And what the Lord does as the glorious one who's about to die for our sins and then ascend to heaven and go back to the glory of being in heaven in the eternal place, in his eternal glory, he humbles himself and serves these disciples who will desert him and betray him. Well, I'll serve the ones who deserve it. Who deserves it? Who deserves your service? You don't choose who you serve. You choose, and this is the second promise, whoever the Lord sends your way. Now this is, the preacher who runs out of time, it's always a frustrating thing, but I'm going to finish this. You see, there's a great blessing in obeying and doing what Jesus said. And it's not just, yeah, we're blessed if we obey. No, I want you to leave here. You're blessed if you know that you're to humble yourself before others and before God and serve God and others. That's the blessing of humbling and serving God and others. But the second thing the Lord says is, I'm not speaking of all of you. I know the ones I have chosen. Last words that really Judas will ever hear. Now, isn't this sad? These are the last words Judas will ever hear before, we'll see it next week, he receives the morsel from the cup from the Lord Jesus and he's gone to do his dreadful betrayal. I do not speak of all of you. I know the ones I have chosen, but it is that the scripture may be fulfilled. He who eats my bread has lifted up his heel against me. Verse 19. From now on, I'm telling you before it comes to pass, so that when it does occur, you may believe that I am he. See, I'm telling you the future, that there's going to be one at this table who betrays me. I'm telling it to you now so you'll believe that I am he. But here we come. Truly, truly, when the Lord says that, it means we pay attention. Church, this is for us now. I say to you, truly, truly, I say to you, disciples is the implication. He who receives whomever I send receives me. This is an astounding statement. What does the word receive mean? It means to welcome. It means to welcome. Truly and truly I say to you, he who receives whomever I send, he who welcomes whomever I send, listen, welcomes me. And he who welcomes me welcomes him who sent me. Oh, this, we must pause here. This is the idea that not only is there a blessing in serving and humbling ourselves before God and others in service, but now this is a hard one. We must receive and welcome whomever the Lord sends our way as individual disciples and as a church. Now, this is not the kind of, I'm going to demonstrate this. I'm going to give you a demonstration. Now, this is not the kind of greeters we want at the church. Welcome to worship. We're glad you're here. Okay, you all are terrible this morning. Wake up. It's this. Welcome to worship. We're glad you're here. Not arms folded. Not grouse in the mouth. Welcome. Welcome. I believe I read in the beginning of John's gospel, but to as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. Did you hear me? You're only a believer in Jesus Christ because Jesus Christ has received you. Now, what were you like when you came to Jesus to be received? All cleaned up? All pretty and nice? No, we were miserable sinners, revolting against God, living in godless ways, and many of us live our lives with the past, with the markings and pain and stains of the past in our minds. We seem like we can't shake them. You were received by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ so that we might be people of grace who receive whomever Jesus sends our way. We need to hear this in the church today. We've seemed to have made some categories. You know, the Lord chose those little helpless children. He who receives one of these receives me. Children in the world are throwaways. You do know that there really are people and organizations who make millions upon millions of dollars stealing children, trafficking them all over the world and doing horrible things. You do know that. That's the real world. And the Lord Jesus, you see, children are a commodity, or children are a waste and noise and in the way. They keep us from we don't get to do what we want to do because we're the center of the world. Children, they're always in the way. They're always requiring all your time. If the Lord sends children your way, be careful how you respond. You're saying, welcome or go away, Jesus. What about the strangers who show up our way? What about those who don't seem to fit with us? They don't look like us. They don't act like us. They come our way. They show up at your work. They show up in your neighborhood. They become your neighbors. You meet them in some kind of relationship. The Lord seems to be sending them your way. You seem to cross the path with this same person all the time. Do you say, go away? I'm talking now to this church. Go away? I don't have time. Or do you? The Lord said, truly I say to you, he who receives whomever I send. Here's the promise. You're receiving me. You're in fellowship with me. I send you, here's the Lord's point to the church. I send you people so that you might share the love of Jesus with them. I send people to you so that people might know, oh, in the world today, what it really looks like for somebody to be a Christian. I have to do this because it's my only point to make this point. I didn't do it last hour, but I'm going to do it. So you just listen to the words. You don't have to turn there. Listen to what James says. James chapter 2. My brethren, do not hold your faith in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ with an attitude of personal favoritism. If a man comes into your assembly with a gold ring and dressed in fine clothes, and there also comes a poor man in dirty clothes, and you pay attention to the one wearing the fine clothes, and you say to the other, sit here in a good place, and you say to the poor man, stand over there, sit down by my footstool. Have you not made distinctions among yourself and become judges with no motives? Listen, my brethren, did not God choose the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor man. Is it not the rich who oppress you and personally drag you into court? Do they not blaspheme the fair name by which you have been called? If, however, you are fulfilling the royal law according to Scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing well. But if you show partiality, you are committing sin and are convicted by the law as transgressor. For whoever keeps a whole law, this is the point, and yet stumbles in one point has become guilty of it all. The Lord Jesus said in Matthew 10, he who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. As we finish today, here's the promise of Jesus. There is great blessing for those who understand a life of humility, lived in service to God and to others. The lesson and promise is that when we receive and welcome and seek to minister and care to those the Lord sends our way, we are ministering to Jesus. Lord, when did you come and we feed you? Lord, when did you come and we gave you something to drink? When you've done it to the least of these, you've done it to me. So as we go our way today, we're reminded of this wonderful promise of the Lord Jesus. If you know these things, you're blessed if you do them. And this promise, whoever receives whomever I send receives me. And he who receives me receives him who sent me. To the praise of the glory of his grace, and the Lord is near to the door. This is the way we live. This is the way we live. I just say it to you, friend. I sometimes smile when I hear people talk about they want to know the deep things of God. They're going to study the deep things of God. You want to know the deep things of God? Humble yourself before God and humble yourself before everybody else and become their slave. That's the deep things of God. You want something that's deep? You want a deep thing of God? Whomever the Lord sends your way or this church's way, may we receive them and welcome them in the name of Jesus so that the grace of God would be seen in our lives and the glory of God would be seen in our world. And we pray, come Lord Jesus.